Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, alongside me as ever, double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. Looking back at day three at Edgbaston, at times it didn't look likely we were going to see a day four. That is an incredible statement in itself when you consider that New Zealand's first innings at the start of day three was only three wickets in. An incredible day's play. Maybe it's a day where a line will have been drawn in the sand, but we've said that before. Let's get on with the show. You're listening to Following On. So if you're listening to the show, you almost certainly know by now, England ended the day batting, which is as good as it got. 122 for nine. A lead of nothing, really, about 36, 38. I mean, I suppose India were bowled out for 38 not that long ago, so maybe there is hope. But all hope really disintegrating in a torturous and horrifying evening session, which saw seven Englishmen lose their wickets, some in truly terrible circumstances. All of this, of course, after, and we played this song before, the bowlers have bowled marvellously well to get the team back in this match. Not to be, though. New Zealand are about to become the first team to beat Joe Root's England in England since he's become captain, and deservedly so. Plenty to get stuck in to the show today. You're listening to Following On.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, wow, that was incredible. I just did not see that coming at all. I had a feeling the game may finish on day four, truth be told, because I couldn't see England batting long enough to make New Zealand bat deep enough into day five. But look, they say it's a hope that kills you. Well, there was hope, wasn't there? There was lots of hope. When New Zealand were 361 for nine, having lost four wickets in the afternoon session, a first innings lead of around 50, and you thought, wow, England never, ever give up, do they? But they did give up. They gave up with the bat. There were some muddled minds out there. There's some real lack of confidence. There's some really, really inexperienced players, but a penny for Joe Root's thoughts tonight as he sits in his hotel room, because he was, and I know he didn't score particularly many runs either, but he must be thinking, sod this, I want in on the IPL next year, because if all the other best players are getting this series off, why am I the one who is going to have to front up to the media at the end of this match and explain why we lost it? Because do you know what? I can't do any more.
Couldn't put it any better myself, John. I love Joe. I think Joe is not only a fantastic cricketer, he is a fantastic human being. He's put his country first, rightly so. He's England captain. Rewards that come with being England captain. But I think he's been thrown not under the bus. There's a tank coming now and Joe's gone under it. After what he's gone through to sort of front up, perform, everything that's going. We talked on the collective. We've talked on Following On. We've talked, even during commentary, myself, Butch, Mark Nicholas, Alex Judah, Gareth Batty, during the India series, that if Joe Root doesn't get his best side, we've got no chance of not only beating New Zealand, we've got no chance of beating India and very little chance of winning the Ashes. And Joe Root today walked off second innings and he looked as though he had not only the world was caving in on his shoulders. He just looked a broken man. I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for him because his criticism coming this England's team were, and rightly so, because they've been awful. They've been ordinary. Bowlers, to be fair, I thought the bowlers bowled brilliantly. I had the first, I had the pleasure of the company of two of England's modern-day great batsmen, in Jonathan Trott, whose career was cut short, and Ian Bell, over 100 test matches. He spoke on TV today talking about some of England's batting and himself batting leg side of the ball, playing, waiting the ball coming to him and, you know, opening the face and the way he would hit these lovely cover drive. I just look at this team. There's just nothing there. It just seems as mistake after mistake. And it's the same mistake as well. It's not just a new mistake. But the England bowling unit, for me, I think they bowled fantastically well. Two players, I've just mentioned names, and Trott and Bell, both said, this is a belter. Warwickshire wicket, it's a belter. It's a 400 minimum, 450 plus for a good side. England bowl New Zealand out for 388. Yes, you mentioned the tail wagged a little bit. 388 with three or four drop catches. This England side, for me, bowled very, very well. Created chances, didn't take them, didn't get the heads down, kept going all the way through. And I thought, you know, 85-run lead, a bit harsh on them. But I think, you know, I said last night on the collective, if we get 50, they're still in the game and still have a chance. And for me, they totally capitulated. Absolutely capitulated. Barrison shot by Burns. Second ball of the game. Second ball of the game. Rory Burns plays a shot like that. The guy's in nick. He's got runs under his belt. I look at his stats. I've got his stats here right in front of me. He's played 7 first-class matches so far this season, averaging 61, 554 runs. This guy's not going in rusty. He's going in nick. You look at the opposition. Conway, Latham, Young, Taylor, Williamson last week. These are guys that have flown in from 10,000 miles away, not had a warm-up game, had half a dozen nets, playing under the eyes, playing, you know, still at the crease, letting the ball come to them, waiting on the bad ball, which there wasn't that many from an England bowling point of view. And I look at Sibley's mistake. It's just, you know, Simon Dool, Michael Holden, it was a good ball. Yes, but it was the same way you're getting out every time. You know, Zach Crawley, another one, tentative movement. Straight ball, slightly angled in. All these things are keep coming and coming. I ain't going to kick James Bracey because that kid just needs leaving alone. Ollie Pope, batting an off stump. Again, getting LBW. You know, the great Ian Bell's telling you at 10:15. Surely you've got that on in the dressing room. Or get a clip of it. He's telling you. When the ball's moving, or you're just there, sort of middling leg side of it, and just... It's like a golfer hitting the ball on both sides. Just take one side of the golf course out and hit it on the other side. It's the same. Just get some confidence. Take one side of the field out of play. Take the leg side out of the play. Stay on the offside. Defend everything. Try and play for your off stump and grind the bowler down till you can go out and earn the right to score a run. At this minute in time, you know, you look at Ollie Pope. He got 23 off 20 balls. Looks and trying to. There's a difference between trying to be busy and looking as though you're all over the shop. And that's what England look at this minute in time. And that's what the second innings was. If it wasn't for Mark Wood and Ollie Stone, yeah, two bowlers who have bowled their pluck out. And I mean bowled their pluck out. Not many times did Mark Wood bowl under 88 mile an hour. Not many times did Ollie Stone bowl under 85 mile an hour. Ollie Stone's 15 not out of 53 balls. Mark Wood's top score was 29. If it wasn't for them, this game's over tonight. And that would be even more embarrassing than what it's going to be turning up tomorrow and going to be done by 12 o'clock.
Yeah, 18,000 tickets sold for Sunday. A laugh, but it's a hollow one. What about the fact that Trent Bolton, this is something that you were very vocal about on the YouTube show that we're now hosting, 7 for 12. What about the fact that essentially Trent Bolton has flown from New Zealand? He's just played in the IPL, right? He's an IPL winner. He's flown from New Zealand to England. He's been given a pass, right? Gary Stead, the New Zealand coach, said before the first test, it is highly unlikely that Trent Bolt will play in the second test match, right? I was then really interested to hear Simon Dool on commentary in that first test match saying he'd heard essentially Trent Bolt is saying, I do not want to jeopardise my place for the World Test Championship final. I want to play at Edgbaston. Come to Edgbaston, Trent Bolt plays. There's a bit of flim-flam about the quarantine period being not as long as they thought it was going to be. He showed player power by playing, whereas a lot of our players show player power by not playing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, don't get me started on this one. Don't get me started on this one, because yes, we were told more or less at the start by Ashley Giles, who I've got the massive respect for. I love Giles to bits, and you know, he will always, I'll always believe that Giles is the right man to be managing director. You know, him and Strauss, fantastic minds and great cricket brains and understanding of the game to make things go forward. But at this moment in time, they need to have a look at what decisions are being made. Is it coaching? Is it too many cooks? I.e., what I mean is, there's a fitness coach, there's a batting coach, there's a bowling coach, there's a spin bowling coach, seems to be a defence coach, an attack coach, nutrition coach. All these coaches that are in there seem to want to have their say. And in the middle of it, you've got players being let basically do what they want. If they want to go and play in the IPL, fine. Go and play in the IPL. But come back, you've got 5 days to get through quarantine and you're playing again. And you'll have do-gooders that's never played the game before. They'll be going, well, we've got to watch their workloads. We've got to watch their balls being bowled. We're in the risk of being in the injury of the red zone. Nonsense. I nearly said something else there. Absolute nonsense. This guy, Trent Bolt, is, and I'm not going to, Chris Wokes, I don't really want to single him out, because Chris Wokes is one of the nicest human beings going. I think he's been messed around by England so much because he's an easy option to mess around. But Chris Wokes, he was perfect for this game. Perfect for this game. England needed a number six, number seven all-rounder to fit into this team, to balance the side, to get the spinner in. Trent Bolt has flown 10,000 miles to play in a game of cricket, five-day quarantine after being in the IPL, because he demanded that he played for his country because he wanted to play in the World Test Championship next week. And Chris Wokes lives 10 miles down the road and he's sitting with his feet up because he hadn't played for 6 months. He was England's player of the year 6 months ago and he got messed around. Yes, he was in with Mo and Ali and COVID. And yes, the agreement is a little bit of time off. But there's got to be some flexibility. Got to be some flexibility. We've got guys now playing white ball cricket, four overs, and that's all they're doing. All they're doing. I can't believe it. I really can't. I can't believe some of our players didn't play in the last round of the county championship. I couldn't believe, and I had a go, and I was irate. I spoke to Marcus North about this the week before Mark Wood. When Mark Wood played for Asherton, I was foaming. I was spewing because he should have been playing for Durham. Because I thought the best thing for Mark Wood in this to get into this test series is to bowl it overs under his belt with a little, you know, with form and wickets going in, like Stuart Broad. Stuart Broad has been the best bowler on show because he's played in five first-class matches and he's bowled for knots. I haven't just seen it. Luke Fletcher, teammate, told us. Joe Clark, teammate, and been in the nets against him, told us. Everybody that we've talked to has said Stuart Broad has bowled brilliantly so far this summer. And I couldn't believe that Mark Wood was going to play for Ashington. And the word had come back that it was agreed because he's quarantined and coming back. If he had come back 2 days earlier, the over volume we would have getting in to play. If you want to play, you play. And at this minute in time, England's problem is it's player power the other way. Because, and I understand this, a lot of them players have been messed around, have been thrown under a bus a couple of times. And the biggest one for me that's losing out here is the England captain. Is the England captain. One of the greatest players that we've ever had has walked off the field for me tonight looking dejected, embarrassed about what's gone on. Because he's not got his best team. He's not had his best team for a long time. And if go from the top, Ashley Giles, James Taylor, chief scout, bottle, whatever he is now, and he's 10 scouts of merry men that go and watch iPads. Chris Silverwood is England coach with Graham Thorpe, Paul Collingwood and all that. Think they can turn up at Brisbane with their best 11 and not have them before that. England will lose like Nasser Hussain lost in 11 days, like Andrew Flintoff lost in 11 days, and Joe Root will do the same. And that's not fair on Joe Root for me. That's not fair on Joe Root. This is just not good enough. And I can't put it in. I'm trying to look after people. I'm trying to see and be and see the bigger picture. But the bigger picture for me isn't test match cricket. And that's wrong. It's wrong. And why is it wrong? Because we're playing the second best team in the world in two test matches in June, one with 18,000 in a crowd in. They changed six players for this game. Two of them of their modern all-time greats in Southie and Williamson. And they've embarrassed us. We've got India next. We've got five test matches against the best team in the world next. And then we're going to go to Australia. Give Joe Root a chance. Give him a chance, his best side, that we stand a chance to winning games. Because at this minute in time, it just seems the white ball is dominating the thought process. You look at that white ball team they picked this morning, and it's an all-singing, all-dancing gun side for Owen Morgan to go World T20, apart from Archer and Stokes, who's injured. Joe Root doesn't get that. Not many of these players. You look at the Indian 20 that's over here that's going to play in the test matches. They're playing the IPL. They're playing the World T20. They're not having time off. That's why it upsets people like me who care about playing for your country. And yeah, I just think we've got our priorities horribly wrong. If we're prioritising 2020 World T20 over the test matches, well, the ICC brought a Christmas card list calendar out for the next 10 years. It's all white ball competitions nearly every year for going. We might as well just sack off test cricket, because I feel sorry for some of these players, because not because they're not good enough, but they're getting exposed and they're getting thrown in at the deep end with players around them who are lacking a confidence, you know, devoid of ideas, and coming up against players who are far superior than what we are at this moment in time. And it's just not right. I'm really, really sick of it.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Moment of the day.
Well, there were quite a few moments today, Harmy. 16 wickets on day three at Edgbaston. When the players went out after tea, Rob Key, who knows a bit about cricket, said that pitch looks as good now as it has in the entire test match. England then lost 7 wickets on it. Let's just pick out a couple of the moments from today, though. I'm not going to talk about Bracey. Unfortunately, he's set for a period on the outside, I think, in terms of England, but he'll come back. I do want to talk about that Rory Burns dismissal, though. Second ball, and we'd all been hearing more than enough about, leaving the ball, playing it on its merits, and he gets caught. Second ball. In the slips, essentially on an expansive drive. And, it's like there was half an hour till tea as well. That was the other crazy thing. And that was it. That just set it all up, didn't it?
It did. It set the whole... you talk about... if a tail ender gets runs, it gives you a confidence going into when you bowl. Gives you the momentum, the impetus, and the feel-good factor when you go on the field as a team to get into the opposition. I don't think New Zealand need that now. They've just got to put the ball in half-decent right area, and they'll say, well, one of the England batsmen will be off balance and going. Rory Burns nearly fell over. He nearly fell over. It looked embarrassing. I've praised him in the last few weeks. I've said I'm one of his biggest critics, but trying to hit that ball where he did, it's indefendable. It is indefendable the way where his mind was at. I don't know where his mind was at. I can't say it's scrambled thinking. Zach Crawley plays that shot. I'd say that's muddled thinking. This kid's got, he's got, you know, there's lights and sirens and everything going on in his head that I could understand him playing that shot. Rory Burns has got, he's averaging 60 in first-class cricket so far this season. It's like Stuart Broad. He's in a bit of touch. He's in a bit of nick. He's playing quite well. And all of a sudden, to play like that shot, I just couldn't understand it. And the minute you do that, your number three is exposed. Your number four thinks everything's going on. I played with Nasser Hussain, and all the players that played with Nasser would take the mickey out of Nasser. Because when he would first go in, that sort of curtain rail playing away from himself, which looked as though he was playing at the ball, but sometimes he was leaving it. It was like a cat in a hot tin roof, and everybody behind would be like, oh, no, this is doing all sorts. You would think the wicket was doing all sorts if you were Joe Root. If you're Joe Root, you're watching Rory Burns and Dom Sibley. You're going, you know what? We're playing on a green seamer at Riverside, at Chesley Street in April and May. Because it looks, their movements, their body positions, their body shape, their balance looks as though the ball is swinging and seaming everywhere. And it's not. And it's not. And that, when you're walking out to bat, after you're seeing, you know, the batsman play that way, you've already got a predetermined thing in your mind. Oh, must be doing all sorts, this. So then all of a sudden you change your game to compensate that. And it's actually not doing a great deal. Zach Crawley missed a straight one, straight onto his pad. All of a sudden, you just keep putting your pressure on. But for me, Rory Burns, he got the ball off. He got the ball rolling. And when you try and hit a drive like that, like you say, half an hour before tee, when you're 85 behind, just, it's like, let the ball come to you. Let the ball come. Unless the ball's going to hit my stumps, I'm going to bat for my life. I'm going to play French cricket to get us through, get the new ball going, get past the new ball. Jimmy Anderson, Stuart Broad told us this morning, last night, that after 8 or 9 overs, the lacquer comes off the ball and it starts swinging. You need your opening batsman to be in there as long as you possibly can to see all that off. Just giving wickets. And when you give wickets away, especially like that, it's indefendable, unfortunately. And I'd love to defend. Look, I like to defend people and see the best in trying to help and understand, because the game is a ridiculously hard game to play. But I can't defend that top three or four. I'll defend James Bracey. I really will. I really feel sorry for that kid. Yeah. 4 days before he makes his test match debut, and he's told he's keeping wicket after keeping for 18 times in his first-class career. He wasn't thrown in the bus. He was just thrown in the deep end. You know, this kid has got a future, and fingers crossed he comes back strong. It's a good lesson for him. Good lesson for him. He's been in the big time. He's been in the big game. He sampled what 18,000 is at Edgbaston. Fingers crossed the boy comes back and he comes back strong. He'll be a better person for the experience. Go away in the two championship games he's got left, and then the what's after if he doesn't get picked against India. Go away and get yourself on a winter tour. He doesn't need the criticism that should come the way of their senior batsmen. Burns, Sibley, Crawley, Pope, Root and Pope. Talk about changes England, New Zealand have made. Talk about players aren't there for England. That's England's top five. And they've batted embarrassingly. And they've done that far too long for now. And something's got to change.
Look, we're not going to do a laugh out loud moment of the day today. We're not going to do what's going to happen tomorrow, because it's pretty bloody obvious. Let's just finish the show with a little bit of positivity, because, okay, I do have my New Zealand links through the family. I spend a lot of time out there. But boy, is there a lot to like about this side. They've always been the likeable side, haven't they, in a patronising kind of way. Well, forget that. They are a bloody good cricket side. They showed it with the bat, and they've showed it with the ball, and they showed it in the field. 91% success rate with their catching in the slips. Says it all, really, doesn't it?
I think it does say it all. When you say 91% catch rate in the slips, I would say 91% of the balls bowled were in a decent area. And that's England's problem. They couldn't face a ball in a decent area for a long period. And why has Broad and Anderson been the greatest two of all time for England? They've got skills, yes. But what you'd say about the two of them is, like Warren McGrath bowling together, like Walsh and Ambrose bowling together, they put the ball in the right area and they test people's techniques. England done that this week. New Zealand had the answers. Left the ball. Conway brilliantly counteracted anything that was offline. England nowhere, not even at the races. I thought New Zealand bowling attack and England's bowling attack were fantastic, colossal, unbelievable. Both bowling units were brilliant. I don't know how they're going to get this 16 into 11 for against India.
Good luck picking
that side, because where does Bowden, Wagner, where does that all fit in? The two spin bowlers, Santner and Patel, you know, they're both bowled all right and tidy. Thought Mitchell's done his job, fighting with de Grandhomme. Blundell looked as though he had Ross Taylor's roller skates on for passages of play when he first went in, but then got himself settled and he's done well. And then, you know, where do you fit Will Young in? Because Will Young's got 80, he's got 82. You've got Conway's just got a double 100. You've got Latham, who is captain on the dip. You've got to find place for Kane Williamson. So picking that side. Nice problems to have. That's why they are second in the world, or going to go to number one in the world. And I agree, patronising is the right word when people say about New Zealand cricket. I think you look at New Zealand sport, you read everything about the All Blacks and everything that goes on with New Zealand sport. They play the game the right way. They play the game respectfully. They play the game tough. They play the game hard. And more often than not, at this moment in time, they're playing the game and they're winning it.
Brilliant stuff, aren't we? We'll be back tomorrow. We'll look back at the action, of course, but we're actually going to take a look ahead. We're going to try and put together our 11 for that first India Test match, England-India Test match. And I'll tell you what, we'll try and put that 11 together for New Zealand. What 11 are they going to pick for India? By the way, that is looking like it could be an absolute humdinger, the World Test Championship final. So plenty of cricket to come. We're a bit downbeat today, but downbeat, a bit angry, but we'll be back. So will England, so will cricket, and hopefully so will you. Thanks for listening to the Following On podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.